está muy contigo.
Yes, good morning. We'll start the meeting with public comment. Just a reminder, folks have 3 minutes to talk. Yes, so I believe, Betty, you are our one person who has requested to public comment today. So you'll have 3 minutes from right now.
Hi, how are you? My name is Betty Andrews. I've had a restaurant in the community for about 13 years. And 8 years, I mean, we had 2 restaurants with my sister and myself. And 8 years of those, I was located in the SSA on Chicago and Damon. We was right there for a long time, but we had to close due to the pandemic. My sister and I was working about 13 hours, 15 hours a day, and it was impossible to keep it up. We used to maintain the same employees. Some of them were with us for the last 13 years. And when we close a place, we look for another places around and we look for a business, a job for them. So he didn't stay with no jobs, but they was with us for a long time. Before the closing, the air conditioning at the back for the weather. And we pay about $13,000 to repair it because that's something that needs to be done. And that same day at night, but at night, we were victims of a robbery. These few guys, like 6 guys, opened the door, broke the door, and they extract our ATM and multiple computers and equipment that we had. Obviously, we had to pay for some, but for everything that we had, it was impossible to get it. That door was broken, not just that, because when we got the place, we was there for, we remodeled it all. So they made a custom made door that they could not have another window, another just glass for it. So they have to replace the whole frame from the bottom to the top. From the inside and outside, they replace some of them and then they let some. We submit the application, but I just wrote some notes here. Of those 12 years as a small business, we were responsible to pay for the property taxes and the SSA extra fee. So we was responsible for that and it was discounted from our rent. It was paid in our rent. Soon after closing, my sister broke down in a bad illness and took her out of the country, actually, and she stayed out like maybe for 4 or 5 months. So, you know, between the closing, the COVID, we was very sick. I got sick as well. You know, everybody got sick, but she has something even worse. We didn't even check the emails. We let it pass. It was irresponsible, but it was so many things to deal with. We didn't owe 1 penny to any of our providers, and anybody had to chase us. But it was very difficult to continue following. What we request
we request right now
is if you can let us reopen the case, and you can pay for our SSA request that we placed before. And it was a lot of miscommunications, and I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you for your public comment. I know we have a few other guests on the call. Alderman Lespada and Danny are both on the agenda, so I guess if you want to make comment now, you can, but you're about to have a presentation. But Alice, anyone else for public comment? No? Okay. Okay, thank you very much. So we have a couple of things that we have to get done. So we weren't able to meet in January because we did not have a quorum. So we need to approve the minutes from December 2nd.
All right, motion to approve.
I will second that.
And just a vote from you three, all in favor, aye. Oh, Kate has requested that when you motion, you announce your name. So Kate, the first motion came from Stephen and then the second came from Nora on that one.
Okay.
Okay, so it looked like all were in favor of that one. The next agenda item is just reviewing the financial reports. And if you have any questions for myself or Susan about those, please say something. But if everything looks good, just, you know, give us a thumbs up and then we can continue moving along. Any questions from anyone looking at that?
Nothing yet.
Okay.
Nope.
Are you okay for me to move on at this point then, since it seems like there are no questions? We need to report to approve our quarter four report from 2021 and our year-to-date report. Again, something we would have done in January, but could not have a meeting. So those are for review. And then we would just need a motion to approve them.
This is Evan. I can make a motion to approve fourth quarter? Yeah.
Yes.
Stephen Tobiasen seconds the motion.
Okay, and then a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye, Nora McCarthy.
Okay. And then we'll just need a motion for the year-to-date report as well.
Evan, a motion to report today.
Stephen seconds that motion as well.
All right, and then a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Great. So the next item is our meeting contract with Christy Weber. We've had this contract for several years, adds to the overall beautification of the SSA. In reading through the contract, it's pretty similar to years past. So if you want to review that, it's also there. And then we just need a motion to approve it.
Yeah, I think they're doing a great job still. Motion to approve.
So this is like not the snow removal contract then, right?
No, the snow removal contract we approved in December.
Okay.
So this is for our weeding along the SSA, and then the next contract is for the mulching.
Okay, then it looks good. I just was like, can't miss the snow removal.
Oh no, the snow removal is happening.
Okay, good.
It is happening.
They've done a good job this year so far, I think, but yeah.
I agree. So is that a second or is that?
Yeah, just... sorry, yeah, second.
Sorry.
Yeah, second, yeah.
All right, so all in favor say aye then.
Aye.
Okay. And then the mulching, fairly similar. Again, a service we've had for several years. But if you have any questions, feel free to ask. In looking at the contract, it again is pretty similar.
I can make a motion to approve that. Nora makes a motion to approve that.
Stephen seconds it.
Great. Then a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you very much. And thank you to our guests from the first ward, Danny and Alderman Laspada, for bearing with us as we go through our admin and finances, all important parts of keeping the SSA running. So without further ado, take it away. Your presentation.
Okay, Aaron, thank you so much. appreciate the conversation. Appreciate truly like everything that you all do, as I know that our neighbors do. And I know we were hearing about the city holding up applications for new SSA members. Please know that that is not on the side of myself or my office. I don't think there's been an SSA applicant in either of our SSAs that we haven't approved, because we know that that vetting work happens on your side and you do it really well. We wanted to have what I would say is, one other thing that I would touch on SSA related is the work that Alice and Aaron that we continue to do with the city around streamlining the logistics and reducing the cost of public way permits for SSA, because I know that's an investment that you both make and your members make. We have another meeting coming up on that, and really BACP has been a willing, if slower sometimes than we would like, partner in that work, but we'll definitely send you the next updates when we have them. But I wanted to reach out today related to what we call alternative crisis response in the city and introduce the idea of potentially partnering with the Westtown SSA on this. When we talk about this, so if you look at the universe of 911 calls in the 12th district, it's a surprising number that are not really what you would think of as general police work. The top two, number second and number three categories of 911 calls in the 12th district are actually for parking violations, 8,000 calls there. Another 2,800 for music and noise violations. And these are things that my office is working to actually take off the plate of the police so that they can respond to things like Ms. Andrews Romo brought up. How do we help police do what is most relevant, what's most effective for them to be doing? But another thing that we're trying to work on, both citywide and locally, is related to social and mental health crises. To that end, when I was looking at the numbers earlier today, last year, January to December, there were 1,098 mental health disturbance calls just in the 12th district alone. There were another 300 that came in from folks in the 12th district, your police district, who were contemplating suicide. Like these are serious things. And forgive me if like I did not talk about how triggering this might be for some folks on the call, but they are at once very serious issues when it comes to homelessness and mental health issues. They can be really public issues that also impact our businesses and our commercial corridors. And they're things that even if you are what's called a CIT trained officer, you might not have the training or the capacity to follow up on these cases as effectively as we would like. How is the city working on this? So we have an enormous line item in our budget over the next 3 years coming out of federal aid to do what is called alternative crisis response. Sometimes this means sending an officer out with a paramedic and with a mental health clinician. Sometimes it means, hey, based off of this neighborhood, it can just be a mental health clinician and a paramedic, making sure that we can provide relevant and effective care when these kinds of crises are going on. But we also know that the rollout of this program is going to be relatively slow and cautious. It's a program that exists in two police districts right now, but getting to citywide coverage and getting to the level of coverage and response that is needed, particularly in areas like ours, is going to take time. And so what we wanted to bring to the SSA is the idea of not hiring as the SSA or the chamber a mental health clinician, but the idea of partnering with, through a part of your budget, with an organization that already does this work to bring this kind of service to the SSA area in a way that both provides benefits for the corridors in general, for your businesses specifically, but also a service that might be accessed and prove valuable just to folks who are residents of the community as well, who are frequently the ones who are calling in with these needs. It's a service that is already provided through the Chicago Loop Alliance and their SSA. It is something that I think is currently being contemplated by the SSA that serves the Pilsen area. And knowing that we are in transition and that like the planning for like the 2023 budget is still down the way, we wanted to bring this forward in a very preliminary way to see what questions either Danny or I could answer, and to see if there's interest in potentially working on this in the future. Those are my opening comments, I suppose you would say. Danny, is there anything you wanted to answer?
No, I think I'm biased, but I think you nailed it. I just want to give a couple minutes to others if there are initial reactions or if there's any points of clarification. Is it clear, I guess, what the ask would be and what we're asking for the SSA to potentially explore for 2023?
I think it might be. This sounds, based off of your experiences in the community, like something that is a relevant concern, if this is a solution worth exploring. I think we would want to understand what are the questions that you all have and how can we be a resource in potentially answering those questions.
Is this open for
public? I think personally for me, do you want to go?
I just wanted to ask if there's any examples out there of this already being implemented and if there's any analytics on that at all.
Yeah, so I can say the city's interest in this comes out of seeing already successful programs in alternative and non-law enforcement crisis response in New York, Denver, San Francisco, Eugene, Oregon. Cities that recognized, unfortunately, much earlier than Chicago, the benefit of bringing these kinds of resources most frequently, even when it's a non-law enforcement team. So like just paramedic, mental health clinician, ultimate social worker, the need for police backups, so to speak, is only maybe 1% of cases. And I think other cities see the benefit in that it frees up their police departments to do the work that is most within their core competencies, so to speak. But if I think we can look at like other detail and like analysis that has been done around these programs in other cities and other neighborhoods, there's actually going to be a hearing in the Health and Human Relations Committee, I believe next week, on how the initial pilots in Chicago have been functioning.
And then if I can just add one more thing to that question, the specific sort of programming that we are asking for this SSA, the Chicago Loop Alliance already does have a very similar, we definitely aren't asking the Westtown SSA to like reinvent the wheel. It is something that is already in place for the State Street SSA. They call it the Street Team Ambassadors, which, you know, do an array of things, but specifically provide assistance and outreach for individuals experiencing homelessness and poverty. And so we do think, you know, I think all of us, whenever I've heard of several people that are quote unquote regulars that appear to be either homeless or otherwise on Chicago Avenue. So we felt like if there was a team that was dedicated to making outreach to these folks in the SSA district and, you know, being able to build those relationships with other outreach folks and other service providers like the Knight Ministry and so on and so forth, then we can actually get people connected to services and or housing, which then obviously would bring benefits to the corridor and neighbors at large. So yeah, just wanted to add that. I hope that answers your question, Lee.
Yeah, thank you. I'm wondering why you come, is this part of, can't this come from a part of the police budget that we already, that's already in place? Are you asking them as well? Or are you just going to SSAs? Where else are you trying to find funding for this program?
So in a larger sense, we are working to roll this out in the police districts that we already serve. So like there is budget, and it doesn't actually come through the police budget. It comes through the budget of the Department of Public Health. So we are working to bring this forward in the 14th district. For instance, I was able to get so far four of my six colleagues who represent parts of the 14th district to write a letter for me, encouraging one of these teams to be brought to the 14th district. I know that that's going to take time. I know I'm working to win over my other two colleagues as well. I think the next step will be working with my colleagues who serve the 12th district. It's also something that we had a preliminary conversation with SSA 33 commissioners on, who also expressed a curiosity on how this could work. It's something that feels like it could work within the public safety and security budget line. But yeah, it's an idea that we thought could support the overall mission of what the SSA is trying to accomplish for its members and for residents.
And then I just have a point of clarification as the person who kind of runs the SSA for Westtown. Are you envisioning this as an independent RFP process that we would initiate and do like independent from your office, where we'd solicit our own contracts and our commissioners would be able to choose their own preferred contract if this was, or what is like the process that you're envisioning?
I think that's exactly right, Aaron. Like I'm not here to try to like put my thumb on the scale or say like, hey, here is actually the person you should be working with. We could make suggestions of folks we know who already do this type of crisis response in other areas of the city, but I would envision it being an independent RFP, similar to how I imagine you guys contract the other services provided by the SSA.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. We do have two more questions. I'll just go in the order that their hands were raised. Alice, Program Manager for SSA 33, feel free to ask your question of the Alderman and Danny.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since it's already been implemented in the Loop Alliance, that might be irrelevant, but I'm just wondering if you've been in communication with DPD regarding this and where they thought this would fall into our budgeting. Just because we are starting to prep for a 2023 budget. So that is definitely something that needs to be on our radar. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure it would work. I'm just curious what line item they recommended or if they've had any input.
Danny, is that a question you have been able to ask? Admittedly, I have not been able to pose that question yet.
I have not asked that question, but that's a great question. I could definitely ask them I'd have to imagine that they would just tell us, oh, actually, this is the line item that the SSA on State Street uses. But yeah, I will guess clarification on that and circle back.
And do you have an idea of like the amount of funding you would want to be allocated?
I don't think we have any specific thoughts on a number. I think it's really whatever this group feels appropriate. I think the biggest question is how often, how many hours do we want people dedicated to this type of outreach on the corridor or within the SSA coverage area? Is it one person? Is it two or three people? It's typically for your crisis response teams of this kind, or they like homelessness outreach teams, it's almost always, from my experience, at least two people. So someone that is a peer support specialist, so someone with lived experience, and then someone with some sort of like formal training, whether it's a mental health clinician or a certification of some sort. So I think that's something that we would probably have to explore. And if this group is willing, I'm like more than happy to coordinate a meeting with the State Street SSA to understand what their sort of cost breakdown is. I have to imagine that they're just probably more robust than what we would be either willing or able to do in Westtown. But just to get an idea on how sort of their team sort of functions currently. And I'm happy to coordinate a meeting between this group and then their SSA, just so we can learn more of those nitty gritty details. But yeah, otherwise we don't have a specific, like, here's how much we want you guys to spend. I think that's whatever this group is able to do.
Do you know who they contract that work through?
I don't know. Okay. Yeah. But we can definitely find out.
Thank you, Alice. And our program director, Kate, also has her hand raised for question.
Hi, thank you for everybody's time and the availability to ask a question. As it pertains to the Department of Public Health, which was referenced in holding the budget for these supplemental services, is there a monetary figure that you can provide to us regarding how much is actually spent on crisis, alternative crisis health management services?
Let me look that up in the budget and get back to you. I know, I can tell you this, what we have budgeted so far exceeds what has been appropriated and spent. Unfortunately, I know that for the city, for example, we have $85 million budgeted for violence prevention services. We were actually able to bring a $250,000 grant to bring street outreach services to the Westtown area. Similarly, I think we have approximately between 35 to 50 million budgeted for alternative crisis response funding that is coming out of the American Rescue Plan federal relief dollars that the city had. I think the goal for us is to work to get those dollars out as expeditiously as possible. But in terms of what has been allocated and spent so far in these two pilot areas, I can get back to you with that information.
Okay, thank you. I also have one other follow-up question in regards to the service area. With the SSA and historically the services that we provide, they are limited to a geographical area. If you understand how the SSA programming works throughout the city, you know that it is because the taxpayers in this geographic area are the ones providing the funds. How is it going to be regulated? Say that there is a crisis call that starts on Chicago and Damon, and then it crosses over the alley line. It's no longer in the SSA. And the SSA is paying for services that are not directly received in the SSA area or by residents of the SSA or by those taxpayers who pay those funds.
Alderman, if I may, I was just going to say, I think part of having this team, I think, is helping build the tools where they can be successful. So we are by no means expecting them to do outreach or crisis response in the areas that the SSA does not fund or cover. But we could, and we, by we, I mean the alderman's office, could certainly like help connect them to the teams that could intervene in areas that they are not being paid to cover. For example, there are a few, I would say there's two off the top of my head that actually are mental health organizations that actually have crisis response teams that are mobile. So say if they were confronted with the example that you used, they can certainly, like, there are numbers that they can call to report these crises where other teams can come out to assist.
Is there a reason why these services, which are not, you know, coming from funding from local taxpayers, that we're not already implementing and utilizing these services in the Westtown area in the First Ward?
I mean, I think we certainly can. The challenge is that they're not a dedicated team to the Westtown and to the SSA corridor.
So if they're not dedicated to the corridor already, how is it that the SSA funding their own team that would then work with these counterpart teams is going to provide services specifically to the area?
Sorry, what was that question?
So if they don't already have a dedicated team in the First Ward, and you're referencing this as a solution to when a person in crisis crosses out of the SSA territory, that we would then contact these teams, how do you envision that working if they're not already available and working in this area?
No, for sure. They are certainly available and working in the area. They're just not solely dedicated to the First Ward or the SSA district.
Do you have metrics of response times and success rates of calls from the first areas that we could possibly reference?
I don't have data on metrics, but their goal is always to respond to any crisis call that comes into their teams within 90 minutes. Obviously, if they're not addressing another call, they're out there like much sooner. But if their team, because a lot of these, the two teams that I'm thinking about in my head, their boundaries actually go as far south as like Cook County Health. And I know that's not very far south, but then basically all the way west to the city's boundaries, all the way north to the city's boundaries, and then east to the lake. So their coverage areas are pretty large. So that's why they always communicate that they hope to reach everyone within 90 minutes. Sometimes it's much faster. In most cases, it's much faster. So they could assist the team that is dedicated to within this SSA district, but certainly they would be complimentary if the SSA team here witnesses or sees something across their coverage area, they could always call on those teams to come out and make that outreach. The intent with this team is to have a solely dedicated team to the folks that frequent the corridor that either need to be connected to support services and or housing or other things.
Just one more quick follow-up question in response. Has the First Ward and the Department of Public Health done a large community outreach of these already available services? Me personally, I haven't seen or heard of, you know, really any communication regarding these already provided services. Is that not something that we could potentially ramp up and pilot before allocating funds from taxpayer dollars?
Certainly. So we actually did, I think sometime about a year ago, an alternatives to 911 webinar online in the First Ward. We actually have this as a one pager that Danny can send to the SSA and to its members, trying to help identify and kind of like aggregate all of the resources that are available to folks who are experiencing these crises, who are witnessing these crises, so that we can get these services out. I think the challenge is twofold. I think the city for a long time did not invest adequately in mental health and crisis response services. I'm glad that at least in the last 12 months, really in the last 6 months, we're starting to change that in the city, but it's gonna take a real ramping up. And so our goal in reaching out was to only like put forward the idea, not as any kind of a mandate, but the idea that this is a service that could help support the aims of the SSA in terms of creating like healthy, stable, safe corridors. But yeah, we are absolutely trying to, we have that information. We can present that on and definitely want to be as supportive as we can.
Wonderful, thank you. That's all I have.
Great, thank you. And I do want to be mindful of folks' time. I think since there are no other hands raised, I'm going to move to the next part of the meeting unless Alderman or Danny, you have any parting thoughts. Thank you for giving us an informative presentation. And if you could send us that one pager and then get back to us on the questions that were asked, you can just email them to me after the meeting whenever you find out, and I can disseminate to both our commissioners and our guests today.
Thank you so much for having us for the conversation. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time out of your day to come talk to us. We're always interested to hear new initiatives that are being brought forth for the SSA and the city.
Take care.
Everyone, have a good day.
All right. Moving right along, there's an update from me on the Westbound pop-up project. So unfortunately, we had our August tenant, Maker and Merchant, drop out this past week. We sent them a signed lease cancellation, and that has been signed by both parties. So if you know anyone that's looking for a pop-up space specifically for the month of August, or just is in general looking to explore the commercial market on Chicago Avenue during sometime next year, we do have a month open. Just a reminder for everyone, the space is $1,000 base for 1 month if they're a sole proprietor or small business. And yeah, the entire month of August is open. Just wanted to provide that update since the SSA does sponsor a portion of the pop-up project. And then moving along again to our facade rebate program, we have a new application from Creative Co-working for a new sign. So the materials, estimates, quotes are in there. So if you want to take a look at the quotes and their preferred bidder and everything, we can decide on the amount to approve. And just a reminder, it's a 50% rebate up to $15,000. This estimate will not get anywhere close to that because it's just a sign and not a full facade redo. So if our commissioners have any questions about that, feel free to voice them. Otherwise we can, yeah.
Where is this proposal? I'm not seeing it in the files that were shared.
It is in the folder Creative Co-working Facade Application. It should be a folder on the top.
Oh, I see. It's its own folder. Okay.
Yeah, I tend to put our rebate applications in a folder because generally there are multiple files that go with them. But yes. And then just a reminder that Evan and Nora and Steven, you're the only three that can vote on this right now. But yeah, hopefully the paperwork goes through soon.
I think it all looks good. I think the quotes are all like reasonable and within the same like ballpark. So I will make a motion. I, Nora McCarthy, will make a motion to approve.
Which bidder would you like to approve?
Oh, her preferred bidder. Okay. I mean, it's not the most expensive and they're all around the same, so.
Yes, so this would be a rebate of about $775 just for the other commissioners. So Nora has a motion to approve. Can someone get a second?
Stephen seconds it.
All right, and then a vote. All in favor say aye or raise your hand on camera.
Aye.
All right. Looks like everyone is all in favor, so we can move on to our finished facade rebate, which is also in a folder for those following along. That is the stoop. They were waiting for a while for a sign, so it's been kind of a long time coming. This is their finished project. If you have been down Chicago Avenue, you'll see that the sign is indeed there and that the windows are, you know, different. So just a motion to approve their finished product.
I guess I'll make that motion to approve.
All right, Stephen seconds it.
All right, a vote. All in favor say aye or raise your hand on camera.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you for that. Moving on, we have a Finnish security rebate that's at New Gallery. Also, the submitted security, it's not in a folder because everything was in one PDF. So just a motion to approve that finished product.
Yeah, it looks fine to me. I have motion to approve.
Aye, Norm McCarthy can second.
And then vote, all in favor say aye or raise your hand on camera.
Aye.
Okay. Aye. Great. And then, so our next commission meeting is April 7th at 10 a.m. And then we have four sitting commissioners right now. So if any of you would like to step up and be chair this year, we would need a nomination from someone. And then you all can vote to confirm it.
Like I said, if nobody else wants to do it, I'm cool with it.
I don't think we need an official like motion. Susan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we need an official motion. I think if there's not two people that are really raring to be chair,
I don't know that we need a motion. It wouldn't hurt to have one, just for record keeping, since that's our official record keeping process.
Okay, so a motion for Evan as chair.
I will make a motion.
Can I say something?
Approve Evan as chair. More quickly.
Oh, Stephen, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, is this something that maybe we should wait until all of the other commissioners have been approved before we do?
I believe we need a chair in order. We need a chair in order to sign reports that are due by the next meeting. We can always, if Evan wants to step down and a new commissioner wants to volunteer, that's something we could approach, I believe, mid-year.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I don't think this is set in stone. It's also, I'm pretty sure, just a year as well. So if someone else really wants to be chair, like we can revisit this as well. We just do need to have some reports signed for quarter four and the year to date report. So that's why I wanted to bring it up.
And right. we do generally suggest that whoever is chair has served on the commission for at least a year. So that would be the, those of you who are currently seated. It's not a requirement, but just generally having an understanding of, the process before serving as chair.
And I second Evan's nomination then.
All right, then. Whatever. Then all in favor of Evan as chair, say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Well, I vote on that too.
I think so. But again, can't hurt to have a motion. But are there any final comments from our seated commissioners before the motion to adjourn?
So there's three of us or four of us right now?
There's four of you right now. There's you three and then Julia, who is unable to join us this morning. And then our applicants are Taylor, who is on the call, Lee, who is on the call, Sasha, who is in the SSA commissioner training right now, and Nadia. And then we are still working on filling that last vacancy from our resignation. So yeah, that is currently how it is, but yeah.
Okay.
All right, if there's nothing else our commissioners want to say, we just need a motion to adjourn and a second.
I'll make a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
All right. And then a vote, all in favor say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
All right, great. Thank you for coming, everyone. I will see you on April 2nd. And any members of the public that are here, you can just email me, you know, if you need to come to another meeting, and I will send you the Zoom link. All right.
Excellent. Bye. Have a great day, everyone.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.